Hello, everyone. Good evening. Here we are in November already. November. So let's do a sound check. Can you guys hear me okay? Let me know in the chat if you can hear me okay. And we'll get stuff going. All right. You can hear me. Excellent. So here's how we roll tonight. For anyone whose first Zoom call is tonight, I cannot see you. No one can see you unless you raise your hand and I promote you for coaching. If you do want coaching tonight, it will be available, but let's stick to COVID and the holidays coaching. I'm going to tell you a little bit about how the pandemic is affecting my holiday plans. And then if anybody wants to share or be coached on how they are dealing with COVID and the holidays, we'll get to that. We'll be here for about an hour and we'll coach as many people as we can get to in that amount of time. If you have questions for me, use the Q&A. If you want to talk in the chat, you are welcome to do that. Make sure where it says two, it doesn't just say panelists. It needs to say panelists and attendees for everyone to hear, to see your comment, to see your chat. Okay? All right. So first, I will tell you what's going on at my house and how I'm managing it. So, you know, I have two boys. One of my boys has four children. One of those kids is a 5-month-old. So I am always asking Olivia, do you mind if I hold him? Is it okay if I've been to the grocery store? You know, so life right now is just around this pandemic. I'm always, you know, just like you, washing my hands, wearing my mask, doing all the things to try and protect myself, but to also protect, you know, this sweet baby. Also in our family, we take care of, my husband specifically takes care of, a 71-year-old sister of his and a 75-year-old brother. So for those of you who don't know, Ken is even refers to himself as a very well-loved accident. So his next youngest sibling is 12 years older than he is. So his sister is 12 years older, makes her 71. And his brother is 16 years older, makes him 75. His sister has probably left the house since March. I don't know. You'd probably count on two hands the number of times she's left the house, and it's usually to a doctor's appointment. Same thing with his brother. They, you know, obviously have age. They also have medical issues to be careful of. So what does this mean? It means that they might not be coming to Thanksgiving. They might not be coming to Christmas. We always host at our house. We have the biggest space, you know, downstairs for everyone to come. And it's not because they don't love us. It's because they're afraid. They don't want, you know, they don't want to get sick. They don't know where everybody's been. Heck, we could go to the grocery store and pick something up, right? So, two things. The first is, am I a little sad that this might disrupt when we normally get together, how we normally care for our family? Sure. But I would also be a little bit nervous if they did come, because I don't want to give it to them. You know, I'm good and healthy. What if, you know, what if I carry it to them? So it's almost like the pandemic has created like a new way of thinking in my brain. And I don't get really upset or sad or panicky or anxious. It's just like it's knowledge. It's like it's neutral in my mind. It's like it's the news. It's just the circumstance. Now, how do I want to tackle it? So here's what we've decided to do. It's totally up to Ken's sister and brother if they come. I know that my daughter-in-law is making the turkey. It's like her job forever because she made it a couple of years ago and we were like, nobody can match this. It's your job forever. So she's coming with the turkey and the dressing. You know, I'll put together whatever else. And if Ken's sister and brother don't come, we will package up food for them and we'll take it to them. masks and all, just Ken and me, because we do the grocery shopping for Ken's sister. She doesn't even leave the house for that. And they both live by themselves. So that's kind of what we're thinking about here. But I know that there are some of you out there that are having a hard time with this, that are really thinking about whether or not, you know, how is this going to affect you? How is this, what's going to happen? You've got fears, you're anxious, you're disappointed, I've even seen comments that my holidays are ruined. This is what we need to talk about tonight. Okay. So if you're here and you have any concerns, questions, you want coaching around COVID and the holidays, let's talk. Let's do this. Just raise your hand and we will, we'll talk. Okay. So there are no hands raised yet. So I guess I'll just talk some more. I talked about Thanksgiving and I talked about Christmas. I just came back from vacation too. And we wore a mask everywhere we went. You know, we were on the sidewalks, walking through the streets of Asheville, wearing our mask, all the things, but I still get nervous about taking it to these other people. It's so funny. I don't get nervous about myself getting sick. I don't want to get sick. Nobody wants to get sick. But I don't want to be that person that takes it to someone else. So I think that's what the thought that I work on is. I don't want to be the reason someone gets sick. So that's the one that I have to watch out for, because I'm not the reason. COVID is the reason, right? So that's the kind of thing that I work on. I'd be really curious to hear what you guys are working on too. Let's see. Can at least see what's going on over here in the chat. Let's see. Oh, somebody says my sweater looks nice. Thank you. And if you have questions, you can put them in the Q&A too. Kimmy says, that's great that you guys help out his siblings like that. So many people struggle daily because they don't have the support they need. Yeah. Lori says, the reason I'm concerned is my 84-year-old mother lives with us and my adult son hasn't been able to practice social distancing doing his job. Yeah. I'm looking forward. Mara says, I'm looking forward to being able to do the holidays exactly as I want them this year. No going anywhere that I don't want to. Yeah, there you go. I think the outbreaks at the White House prove that testing alone cannot prevent spread. Well, no, testing doesn't prevent spread, right? Testing only diagnosis. Okay. Jennifer, you have hands raised. Let's do this instead of reading the chat. Jennifer Freeman, you're first. Hi there.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. So my house is going to look a lot different this year because I have four teenage daughters and three of them are away at college and they will all be returning from different states that are kind of hotspots. And we had downsized in August, September. So they're all going to be, three of them will be sharing a bedroom and there's one other bedroom. And my mom and my sister, we have kind of told they need to not come, unfortunately, because I just not sure what's coming home with all of these girls.
So you told them
not to come home for the holidays?
I told my mom and my sister not to.
Oh, you told your mom and your sister
Thanksgiving, right? Because I'm just worried, you know, even if they get tested, that there's too much, and they socialize with their friends. As much as you tell them to be careful and wear their masks, I know, you know, teenagers are the worst offenders right now of this. So,
So what are you thinking about all that? What are you thinking about having to tell your mom and sister?
There's a lot of, it's not so much, I mean, I know I'm doing the right thing. I know I'm taking care of them. And I said, you know, we can Zoom or FaceTime and have dessert together. And, you know, I was even thinking like we could get Yahtzee and play Yahtzee and both have our own Yahtzee games. And, you know, I'm okay with that part. It's more the girls, like it feels different. It feels like the fear of hugging them, of being close, of that, like, I kind of want to keep them at a distance. And that feels very unnatural for the holidays for me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to substitute affection with food.
Well, that's probably a good idea. I mean, but really, what's the problem? What's the problem with any of this?
Control.
What do you mean, control?
That I don't have any. Or I feel that I don't have it.
Well, you do. You can say, girls, I love you, but I'm not hugging you. Yeah, until 2 weeks is up anyway.
Yes.
What's the problem with that?
Share bathrooms. We will share kitchens. We will, you know, I mean, the hugging is fine because they don't really want to be hugged by their mom at this age. Anyway, so it's not like they're going to be chasing me down. It's just, I think, the unknown of this situation. Like, it's been very secure. I've been in my bubble for a couple of months. They've been away at school. And I feel invaded.
Oh, there it is. So yeah. The feeling is actually invaded.
And you shouldn't feel that. Well, I know not should, not, well, but
I mean,
that, you shouldn't feel that way about your children coming home. Like, you normally, that's an exciting experience.
Yeah, but what if it's okay? I mean, you're supposed to be able to feel anything.
Yeah.
what we want you to do is understand why you're feeling it. Okay? So tell me why you feel invaded. What's the thought that leads to invaded?
I don't know.
Okay. Why do you feel invaded? Talk to me about feeling invaded.
Three of them are coming home with all their things and all their germs.
Okay. They're coming home with all their germs.
Yeah.
So if we didn't have a pandemic, would you have that thought?
No, I'd probably think they were coming home with all their bickering.
Yeah, right?
All being girls, I'd be like, oh, yeah. But now it's going to be bickering and germs.
Would they have had germs coming home without the COVID?
Actually, yes. Mm-hmm. Especially freshmen. The first year, I feel like they share everything.
Yeah. So I just want you to notice that. I'm not minimizing the pandemic in any way, shape, form, or fashion, as my mother used to say, way, shape, form, or fashion. But just watch where your brain goes. There's a fine line to be found between, exercising some personal safety and feeling invaded and feeling very, you know, invaded is a very personal feeling. Right. So if you had to pick the girls and all their germs and not seeing them for Thanksgiving, which would you pick?
I'd take the germs.
And you'd build yourself a little bit of a safety plan around it, probably.
Yeah.
Right. So tell me about the safety plan.
That's what I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I want to, like, it just doesn't even seem natural to wear masks in your own house. Like, I'm okay with it when I'm out. I'm okay with it when I have to go to the office at work. It just seems so unnatural to be in your own house with a mask on.
I can tell you that when I go to my sister-in-law's house with her groceries, I wear a mask. When she goes, she does go to babysit every now and then, the grandbabies, and mm-hmm. she wears a mask in their house.
I feel like that's temporary, though. Like, if I went to visit my mother-in-law and she's elderly, I would wear a mask. Mm-hmm. But that's temporary. Like, they're going to be home for 2 months. They're not going back after Thanksgiving. They're going to be home until January.
Okay. So what if it's, you know, 2 weeks of, let's just make sure you're okay before we take off the mask.
Yeah.
Does that feel more temporary? Does that feel like a doable safety plan? I mean, here we go with doable, right? But that's what you have to decide.
And spend some time in my room.
Yeah. You might get your Lysol now before there's a run on it again. Now, I don't even know if you can buy it where you are. I don't think we can buy it.
Yeah. We're in New York, so there's no Lysol. But
yeah, I wondered with that accent.
Oh, is it a giveaway?
Mm-hmm. So the girls are coming home and you get to decide. I mean, it's up to you really to decide how you want to think and feel about it. And if you're deciding on invaded, you might want to take a look at that.
Yeah. Right? Before they get here.
Before they get here. How do you want to feel?
I want to feel excited. I want to feel joyous. And I started doing the holiday workbook yesterday. And what mm-hmm. I wrote was joyous, calm, and grateful. Grateful to have four girls, healthy girls. Mm-hmm. I'm just also, calm, not anxious.
Yeah. You can also work on safe. What thought makes you feel safe? Right?
Yeah. That I decide. That peace. I, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because the pandemic is here. And it's going to stay. And we can choose to think things that create a feeling of peace or safe or control, which lead to actions or the do line that's much more grounded than when you feel invaded. Right? Yeah. I mean, I picture cowering in the corner and, you know, I don't know. I just, it just doesn't seem, it seems more panicky. Invaded seems more panicky.
And I sent them all away very confidently. And this kind of just snuck up on me recently. Like, it's like, they're coming back.
Why do you think it snuck up on you recently?
Because my stepdaughter came home 2 weeks ago and we had a scare. So now it just makes it all feel that much more real and how quick it can happen and how you can, you know, infect someone else. And we were lucky that we were negative, but she wasn't. And it's just if I had been around my mom or, you know, my husband's mother, it's scary. It's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But
Go ahead.
No, I told myself maybe this happened 2 weeks ago so that we weren't so carefree at Thanksgiving when everyone came home. Maybe it was a good, you know, little reminder.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting. I think over the course of, you know, a few months, I've noticed here that people have gotten more complacent about their safety. So that is interesting that it, complacency usually doesn't breed good action either.
you know, it's kind of ignoring sometimes. So it is interesting that it's back in your mind, but it's not something to fear, so to speak, that it's back in your mind. It's more of a reminder. You could think of it more of a reminder that, it's okay to make sure that you're safe and well and germ free.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I appreciate it. I hope you enjoy your holidays.
Well, I hope you do too. I hope you do too.
I'm going to work on it. Thank
you. Does that help? Does that help?
It does help. No, it does. Okay. And I don't even think I thought it until I started listening to you today. So it wasn't a plan to jump on a call. And all of a sudden it, you know, started coming up like, oh, this is happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know. It's, I think you're probably very representative of what a lot of people are thinking about their kids coming home from congregate living and, you know, sharing everything. And, you know, I've wondered that myself. My boys are not in college anymore, but in the dorms, everybody's close together, you know, and sharing stuff, like you said. So,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just have to, you have to just meet the situation with your eyes open and be really intentional about how you want to think about it rather than letting your brain just kind of run crazy with
right
scenarios and what ifs and all the things.
That's true. That makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
All right. Jennifer Lawler, then Allison. Let's get you unmuted. There you are.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Sorry, my son's in the background. I am just feeling a little, I guess, disappointed that we go to Florida every year to see our family. And it's kind of like the highlight of my year. I just look forward to it every year. We go for 2 weeks. And it's just not going to happen this year. And it's just making me a little, I guess, disappointed.
Okay. And it's not happening because everyone doesn't want to get together or...
Right. I'm just getting it different. Yes, and because of, travel restrictions, really, with COVID and my job and how long I'd have to quarantine, and it just wouldn't, that, you know, it just wouldn't work out.
Yeah. So there's a lot in your, for under, in your consideration, because let's see, would you have to quarantine because you went to Florida or because you came back from Florida?
Because I went and, I'm in New York also. So you have to do the 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I can't take 2 weeks and then quarantine for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm.
So is the rest of the family
going to happen?
Is the rest of the family getting together?
Some are going to go down. I'm a big family. My immediate family, no. My husband and I, my son are going to be here. You know, my mom and my dad are probably going to go down. And I guess another layer to this is my dad is sick. And I really just wanted to go because I don't know how many more Decembers we're going. That's the thought that keeps replaying. How many more Decembers are we going to have together?
So there it is. How many more Decembers? So that's not really a thought. That's a question.
Yeah.
So how would you reword that? To
an awful thought? Question, because it just, it sends me into a tailspin about him. And then, you know.
So you would probably reword that as I don't know how many more Decembers we'll have together. Right?
Right. I don't know how many more Decembers we'll have. Mm-hmm. And then it just, and I'm like, ugh, COVID. And then I get angry at COVID and I'm like, why did this have to happen? And he's sick. And I just like go down a rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. So how does that thought make you feel?
Powerless. And yeah, powerless. I just desperately want to change the situation and I can't. I can't, there's nothing I can do. And I acknowledge that on some level, but then my thoughts just allow me to slip into this like hole.
So the thought, I can't change the situation, is what leaves you powerless. The thought about your dad is a different feeling.
The thought about my dad is a different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Well, I mean, of course, I'm upset that he is sick, but I also, the memories we build when we're in Florida in December during the holidays is just something that I really love. And I think the added layer that he is sick is just not helping my thoughts.
So does it make you sad? Does it make you
very sad?
Very sad. That's a little different from powerless, right?
So I guess the COVID is, that feeling is powerless, but him is more of a sad feeling. Yeah, I guess there's two things going mm-hmm. on. And I tie them into one, but they're
Exactly. Yeah. And then you have a nice layer of anger on top of that because.
Yes.
So you actually, this is so cool because you have three models running at the same time. You've got to expect that to happen when you have 60,000 thoughts a day.
Right.
So you have all mixed up together and intertwined. You have anger, sadness, and powerless.
Yes.
Right?
But I don't separate them. And then I just like pile them all on each other.
Yeah.
Because I've never broken them down like that.
Yeah. Then it's the dog pile of emotion. And then when you have all that going on, what productive action do you have coming out of that?
Oh, there's nothing productive.
Right. That's a trick question. There's nothing productive that comes out of that.
Right.
No. It's a lot of crying and worrying and predicting the future. And
Yeah. Because when I do say that statement about December, like how many more Decembers will I have left? That's just predicting trying to predict the future. And that's what causes the anxiety because I can't predict the future.
And in reality, you even if he were well, you wouldn't know how many Decembers you had left.
Right. So, well, if he was well, yeah.
Yeah, even if he wasn't sick, you wouldn't know how many Decembers you had left. Right. I think we have this assumption that the Decembers will continue to come unless there's a problem.
Right.
See? And we don't really have that guarantee. Which brings us back into the present. When you think about Thanksgiving and this trip and your dad, it's okay to be sad and angry and disappointed if that's what you want, but you're not having any productive do line actions coming out of that. When you could try and find a feeling that's, and a thought that produces something that's a little bit more productive, like enjoying, you know, today. Does he live close to you?
Yeah, no, I see him every week. So I do see him, yeah.
But if you walk, I mean, this is true whether COVID is present or not. If you walk into that house every week and you go, I don't know how many more weeks I'm gonna have with him, right?
It's awful, yeah.
Yeah, you're just kind of stewing around pre-grieving what may or may not happen when it may or may not happen.
Yeah, it's like that anticipatory grief that I don't need, that's not helpful.
Yeah.
Oh. So what's a more neutral thought to even think about?
Like not going on the trip. When it comes to something like this, I really try and stay in the present.
Okay.
You know, when I don't know, how long have you been a member?
Since just September.
September. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So when the pandemic was first declared back in March, mm-hmm. Corinne had us do, I won't remember all of them. Maybe you guys can help me in the chat. I know Jean's in there. She had us do this exercise every day. And it was, we had to write down three things we could control. We had to pick someone to connect with that day. And it seems like there were one or two others. That's what I would do if I were you. I would really think, you know, we can't control the COVID. We can't control travel restrictions. We can't control sickness. But we can control who we talk to and what we say and what we decide to think about what's going on. Right? So rather than, Michelle says, I still write what is in my control every day. Yeah. Rather than thinking about, you know, the spiraling future, I don't know how many more of these I have. If you bring it back to today, what do you have today? You have a father you can go over and see right now. Someone said three things you were grateful for each day was one of them. You're going to see your dad this week, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to show up seeing your dad worried that he's going to Florida? Or do you want to sit there and enjoy the time that you have with him when you see him?
Yeah, I just want to enjoy the time.
Yeah. As our, I think about that with Ken's sister and brother. You know, his brother's 75. I mean, there's no guarantee that there's going to be more Decembers, but there's no guarantee that any of us have any more Decembers.
Right. So, COVID or not, you're right.
COVID or not, right. So, really being present, and it's just like going back to the other Jennifer, being present and intentional with how you want to think and feel and creating a safe surrounding for yourself, a surrounding you feel safe in.
Right.
That is about all the control that you're gonna need.
Right.
Right. That's where I would go. When you start to think, I don't know how many more, or get angry at the COVID, and you just tell yourself, there's nothing, it's just like, I don't know, there's nothing productive that comes from those emotions. It's okay to feel them, but just know there's nothing productive that comes from them. And let them play out, and then decide what can I really control here? Let's go for controlled and safe.
Yes.
And intentional. I love the word intentional. It's like written everywhere in my office.
I that's so funny. I wear a bracelet that says intention on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can go into the holidays. Yeah. Into the seeing your dad with intention. Okay. I loved the idea that Jennifer had about, or was it you? Which Jennifer was it that had about playing Yahtzee on Zoom?
Oh no, the other Jennifer. Yeah,
the other That's Jennifer. Fun. That was such a great idea.
Yeah, we're an Uno family, so that would actually be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you could totally do that.
And it's creating a memory, which is something I want. So,
yeah. And it's a way, even though it's online, it's a way to spend some holiday time with your family.
Right.
Right. Like for my husband's birthday is April 6th. So it was right after the pandemic when everything was closed. Right.
I mean,
you couldn't even go anywhere if you wanted to. We had happy hour for his birthday with our two couple best friends. And it was awesome. It was awesome to see people and talk. And it's a neat memory.
Yeah. It's something you'll never forget. Yeah. So I'm going to try.
I've seen so many people just really down about 2020, when 2020 has really been an amazing opportunity for all of us to get just a little bit more creative with how we live our lives. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway. Creative, what's important for me, been a big thing that come up. So yeah.
So maybe ask yourself over the next few weeks, how can I get really creative this holiday season and create some memories, because this will be the one you remember because you got so creative, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for helping me reframe that. Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, it does. I'm going to re-listen, but yeah, I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Stay safe. We'll see ya.
Thank you. You too.
Bye. Okay. All right. Allison, then Lillian. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I am well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on with you?
Well, I am just having a little bit of an issue wrapping my head around the holiday season this year. I have a daughter that lives in Belgium, and she got COVID in April and has been really sick and hasn't been able to come home. And so that's just been, you know, kind of an ongoing thing that has been difficult. The holidays are usually, you know, one of two times a year that she can come home. And it's been a long time since we've been able to see her. And I have an immune issue, so I'm extra careful too. So I feel like this year, I've been trying to prepare for it. I knew this year was going to be more isolating, and I have all my family in town, and I feel like this probably isn't the year to have a gathering, even though, you know, everyone's nearby. I don't know. So I've just been kind of feeling a little bit stuck. So I tried maybe a month or a month and a half ago to focus on something different with Thanksgiving coming up. And I wrote a letter to myself to open on Thanksgiving, just things that I was grateful for. And I set a goal of what I wanted to weigh on Thanksgiving because I'm really close to getting under 200. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be a nice Thanksgiving goal. And I feel like as it gets closer, I feel like that goal is probably not going to be reached. So I feel a little disappointed and frustrated about that too. And I just keep trying to reframe my thoughts to be less of a victim maybe about all of this. And because I do have a lot of things to be grateful for.
Okay. Tell me why you feel victimized.
I mean, I think when I have to isolate in ways that other people just maybe don't have to be as careful, that brings up some of my anger or grief about my health issue.
So other people don't have to isolate as much as I do. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what? Why does that matter?
I mean, even the two kids that I have still in the house and my husband, they don't really need to isolate as much as me either. And they are really happy. They're all three introverts. They're okay. And I want to be okay.
Does it matter that other people don't have to isolate as much as I do?
I mean, I guess I'm just envious, really. I mean, maybe that's just my little toddler self that really wants what I want and I can't have it.
Yeah, you could be my 71-year-old sister-in-law who also has immune issues.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have the thought, you know, it's unfair that other people don't have to isolate like I do.
Yeah.
She has the thought, this is how I take care of myself.
Yeah.
This is how I ensure that I don't get sick. This is me exercising a whole lot of self-care.
That is definitely a better way to think of it, because I feel like when I go into a little bit of a pity party about being isolated, then sometimes I'll make an impulsive decision to go out and do something that I know is really not a good idea for me to do. And then I feel guilty that I am putting myself in a dangerous spot when I see how being so sick has affected my daughter. And I think, I don't want to do that to my family.
Yeah. It sounds so much like a binge restrict cycle.
Yeah.
You rebel, right? I mean, it really does. You talk down other people, envy, jealous. Then you rebel. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Then on the backside, you feel bad about it. When you could just decide, we're not going to go through that cycle. Let's just, you know, decide this is self-protection. This is how I stay well.
I mean, it's interesting that you make that analogy because I feel like it's been almost a year and a half and I've lost 60 pounds and I have, you know, I have a ways to go, but I feel like I have gotten so many things down through this process. And in the last, you know, several weeks, that fog eating and binge cycle has come back. And I didn't really think about it coming back with my actions too. I mean,
yeah, it's probably all this rebellion is probably all tied together.
Okay.
Right. And because you were taking care of yourself and you were losing weight.
Yeah.
Then you introduced rebellion with COVID and other people don't have to isolate like I do. And then you rewarded the rebellion by going out. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on the back end, you felt bad about it. So when the rebellion came in and the reward came in, your brain said, oh, all we need is a little rebellion. All we need is to go, you know, and we get to do fun things and we get to eat. Right.
It is. And then you just feel like really sad after you've done it because you're like, oh yeah, that is really fun. I miss being around people.
When you could just work on getting creative around how to nurture that part of you that wants to be around people. I'm kind of like your kids and your husband.
Yeah.
I get tired of being at home, but I don't mind being alone. Okay.
Yeah.
My husband, on the other hand, he's like, who can I talk to?
Call me.
All in my space. And Allison needs a friend, and so do you. Chelsea has I don't know if you know Chelsea, she's one of the members. She has a really great comment here in the chat that I want to read. She says, she also has some autoimmune things going on. She says, I've found it helpful for me to use the word insulate versus isolate. I'm working through my thoughts about how the word isolation, insulate feels much better now.
I like that.
Yes. Yes. I think it's super important right now to pay a lot of attention to self-care. If you're a person who needs people, who needs your people, figure out a way to spend time with them, whether it's online or on the phone or, you know, sitting outside 6 feet apart with a mask, whatever it is you need to do.
Okay.
But making sure that you're not creating thoughts that are leading to unproductive actions like rebellion that put you in danger of weight gain or sickness or whatever it is what you really have to watch for.
When I do a few things that feel like, okay, I've pushed that too far, then I don't trust myself to, you know, kind of make safer plans because I think once I'm in the situation, I might just say, oh, you know, screw it. Let me just enjoy this moment. And then, you know, I kind of really isolate myself probably more than I need to. And with Thanksgiving coming up, I've traditionally hosted. I love to cook. I love to entertain. And I think, well, could I find a safer way to have people, you know, like a Thanksgiving bonfire instead of a meal or something like that? But then I just worry about my ability to follow through and have my own back once I'm in a situation.
Yeah, that's where your work is.
Okay.
You know, first deciding, is that what I really want to do? You know, as someone who needs to, you know, insulate versus isolate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you decide, yeah, I really don't need to have all these people come over, then get creative. You can still cook. You've got a family at home, right?
That's true.
You cook and you can do like we're doing. You can cook a full meal and deliver food. You can cook a full meal and deliver food to a homeless shelter. You know, you can cook full meals and freeze it, you know, whatever it is. There's so many creative ways to make the holidays more memorable than, you know, I think that's what intrigues me so much about this year and about this particular topic with COVID and the holidays is that mm-hmm. we have the opportunity to create something that's not the same as it always was.
Yeah.
Something that is more unique and more memorable. Right? It's really an opportunity that we have rather than something we've just got to deal with. You know?
Yeah. That helps. That really helps.
One of the things we do every Thanksgiving is we write down in little pieces of paper something that we're grateful for. And we try and get really unique, you know, so that people won't guess, you know, who it is, right? So, and then we put them all in a hat and somebody picks them out and they, you know, okay, somebody said, I don't know, new life. Okay. So we had a baby. Somebody had a baby, new life. Okay. Well, that's got to be so-and-so. So we guess who it is. Now we get to figure out this year how to do that. We can do that on Zoom with Ken's brother and sister, zooming in while we all trade our gratitude.
That's neat.
Yeah. So it's just going to be interesting to see what we can come up with to keep traditions as close as we can,
mm-hmm.
but creatively safe and productive as well.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Anything else?
No, I think that's good.
All right. We'll see you.
Thanks. Take care.
Okay, you too. Lillian left me, but I have Danielle. I'll do one more. Hello.
Hi.
I'm going to sit down.
Okay.
So I have been playing in my shitty diaper all day and journaling and talking to my accountability group because I'm struggling with my dad has an autoimmune disorder, sort of like mm-hmm. the other way. So he called yesterday and we talked and he's not going to do Thanksgiving this year mm-hmm. and isn't sure whether or not he's going to do Christmas. Thanksgiving, I was kind of okay with mentally because we usually spend a lot of that at my mother-in-law's. Mm-hmm. But Christmas is like his thing. Like we open presents with the kids, then we go to my dad's, and then we go to my mother-in-law's for like a couple hours, and we go back to my dad's.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of extended family, step siblings. It's like a giant family reunion. And the evening at my dad's is like, for lack of a better way to put it, I was telling my accountability group, it's like the adult Christmas. Like it's Cards Against Humanity and all the kids are in front of a movie and
mm-hmm.
it's like my Christmas, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm struggling with that along with the thought that I've always told my kids that, you know, birthdays and holidays aren't about presents, they're about family and they're about spending time with family.
Right.
So and I know Corinne says never leave the thought unanswered or the question unanswered. Mm-hmm. And my question is, what are the holidays if it's not spending time with family?
Oh, I want you to answer that. What are the holidays if it's not spending time with family? Well, first, let's take this part, spending time with family. Because you've defined that as in person, the way it's always been. Do this, then come here and go there and play this game. That's spending time with family. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll just point that out. But so tell me, what are the holidays without spending time with family?
I mean, so I've done some journaling. It's still spending time with family. Like my kids aren't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's still spending time with them. And there are ways to spend time with the rest of the family without necessarily being in person. It's just, I'm very much in the shitty diaper of, I want it to be the same and it's not.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm so glad you got on this call, because that is so stinking normal. That is what that is your habit brain going, but this is the way we've always done it. Mm-hmm. Right? Wait, change? That's a no. Right?
Yeah.
You've got how many, seriously, estimate for me, how many years have you had this Christmas routine going?
Oh, at least a decade or more. Yeah.
At least 10 years. So this is what is clearest in your memory. This is what your habit brain knows. This is what, you know, it expects to happen. So it's pitching a fit.
Because, it is a lot.
Yeah, because it's not going to happen that way. It's not even letting you look at
logically. I can't even think of the alternative.
Right, at alternatives. Okay? Because none of the alternatives are even going to come close to that. Right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're not. And it feels really shitty.
Yeah, you're not even giving your logical brain a chance to try and figure this one out. Yeah.
I mean, I've tried. Like, I know logically, we're religious. Christmas is about a whole lot more than just spending time with your family. Mm-hmm. And my kids know that too. And they probably won't say a word about not doing things the way we've always done them.
Why do you think that is?
I like to think because we've raised adaptable, appreciative children.
Adaptable, appreciative. Okay. Two very cool feelings that you could probably work on yourself too.
To be more adaptable
and appreciative.
I see what you did there.
How do you now?
I could do that.
Do you think you could play Cards Against Humanity over Zoom?
You could, and we've actually, in like our family group text, we've talked about it. The problem being, and to one of my accountability group partners' point, maybe if I spearheaded it would go better. People don't prioritize digital as much as they do in person. Like if it was in person, everybody would be there. Mm-hmm. Virtually, not necessarily. Like we've tried and people, it just falls by the wayside.
And my thought about that is the people that want to spend time with me are going to be on the Zoom playing cards with me.
True.
I prioritize it. That's all I can ask for. If I'm the only one on Zoom, guess what? The husband's going to play. We're turning off the Zoom. We're going to play
stuck
anyway.
With me.
That's right. Right?
Yeah. I like that thought.
Yeah. Appreciative and adaptable. I think that's what this whole call is about, really, is creating, you know, using this as an opportunity to figure something out. I was telling my husband about this right before this call. I saw something on Instagram that I wanted to read to everyone. And I think it's just so appropriate here. I hope I can find it. Hang on. Here we go. I put it in my story, so I have to do a quick. Okay. It was Lewis Howes who does a podcast called School of Greatness. And he interviews lots of people, but he's pretty insightful. Anyway, he says 2020 has been the best year of his life. He's been forced to grow, reflect, and slow down, faced so many challenges and overcome them. It's forced you to grow exponentially. Don't take this year for granted. It's giving all of us an opportunity to think differently and to not take, to not get complacent and to not take things for granted and use this as an opportunity to get super creative with how we want to show up. And do you, I know, if I were to ask you, do you want to show up with like a shitty diaper on Christmas Eve with, no, you want to show up and have fun in the most creative way you can come up with. And if that's Zoom or the phone call or sitting outside around a fire pit, you know, in a mask six feet away, whatever it is, you'll figure it out if you give yourself the opportunity to be adaptable and appreciative.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right. And I don't know, you're right about the habit brain thing, because I feel like what you read, I could say so much about 2020 that I'm appreciative and have adapted and have grown and have can be grateful for. But this being maybe because it's so fresh, I'm like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's just because it's a change. It's because your brain is just going, no, change. Don't like change. Don't want change. Habit brain. We want things to be easy. We want things to go exactly like they always have.
And it does.
Yeah, it does. That's why it feels hard.
So is that something, would you just say keep journaling the what else can you do type thing?
Here's what I would do. I have just discovered this, and I'm almost embarrassed to say it because I'm a coach, but I do a lot of journaling about what do I feel right now? What's going on in my head right now? Just get it out on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I have started journaling what I want to think.
Oh,
I have come up with, you know, this is how Kathy shows up every day. This is how amazing Kathy shows up every day. It doesn't have a shitty diaper. And I've started making lists. How does amazing Kathy show up at work? She does this, she does this, she does this, she thinks this. How does amazing Kathy show up, you know, for her kids? She does this, she does this, she does this. And it's really insightful and very eye-opening to go back and read. So for you, how does Danielle want to show up at Christmas this year? What does she want to think? You know, what does she want to feel? What does she want to do? Right? Not
work on that
so much what you're thinking, feeling, and doing right now, because you know. I mean, you're in the shitty diaper. There's no, you know, you don't have to argue with yourself. You don't have to, you know, reinforce it. You know you're there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you could pick it out of the sky, what would you want to think, feel, and do this Christmas? And how would you want to show up? What would you want to create? It's almost like doing a future self letter for December. I don't know if you get together Christmas Eve, December 24th. What's that look like? How can it be amazing? What can I create?
Yeah, that might take me some time.
It might take you, and it really might. I mean, you can, it's almost like rewriting, you know, what you think right now, it's going to suck, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to want to play with me. I'm going to be stuck at the house. Right?
Yep. I'm going to be all alone at the house.
All right. You got that one covered. You got that story written, covered, you know, bound and on the bookshelf. What if you were to write another one?
Yeah. I have a feeling my accountability group will hold me to that tomorrow.
You might need a couple of versions of it too, and that's okay. And it may not play out the way you expected it to, and that's okay too. But creating that future version of Danielle at Christmas during a pandemic might also help you move that direction. That's what future self does. Kind of gives you that person just over there to kind of cast your rod at and start reeling in. I don't know if you're a fisherman or not. I used to fish when I was a kid. My dad used to take us out fishing. But that's really what it is. That's what future self is. It's that hook at the end of your fishing rod that you just start reeling in a little bit at a time. And if you create her and you think about her and you nurture her and you care about her, then you're going to be able to get there one way or two.
I can work on that.
Right now, that future self is like sitting in a dirty diaper, pouting in the corner.
Yeah, she's
probably drinking too much, probably eating too much, yelling at everybody.
Yeah, she's not much fun.
No.
But she could be.
She could be. If you decide you want to, if you decide you want to create her, she could be.
Okay. I can work on that.
Okay. Good deal. Anything else?
That was it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. That's the hour. If I did not get to you, please go to Ask Coaches. Come to office hours on Thursday. Who is Thursday this week? You got Coach Judith Thursday this week. Come to office hours. Ask coaches, hit up the Facebook group, whatever you need. Okay. Enjoy your holidays, right? Cast out your rod. See what kind of future self you can hook into and reel in. Use this as an opportunity. So many good nuggets here. Be adaptable and appreciative. Use this as an opportunity to create new and different memories. Something that's just a little bit different. Okay? Take care. I'll see you soon.